Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Chav Gimel. We're holding on daf Kuf Chav Beis Am Beis. We're at the two dots toward the end of the page on daf Kuf Chav Beis Am Beis. So Shira is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by the Zchus Rufu Shalema for Mayor Yosef Ben Yita by his children and grandchildren. So what we're going to discuss today is a number of issues relating to Muktzah. We started the sugya of Muktzah yesterday, so we're going to discuss the Mishnah said that you're allowed to use a hammer to crack nuts. We're going to talk about what type of hammer may be used to crack nuts. We're going to talk about the concept of Muktzah Machmas Chesron Kis, the idea that you might not want to use an item for anything other than its intended use because it's valuable and you don't want to ruin it by using it for something else. We're also going to talk about the concept of Tiltul Min Hatzad, of moving something min atzad in an indirect fashion. Then we're going to define what a kli is as far as Hilchus Muktzah is concerned, as far as Hilchus Tumah is concerned, and discuss whether the two always have to align with each other. Is the definition of a kli for Muktzah purposes and the definition of a kli for Tumah purposes always going to be the same? The Gemara on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about straightening a baby's limbs and whether that's Mutter or not. Then the first Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about Muktzah and Tumah status of a cane that's used to soften olives. And the second Mishnah is going to talk about two particular kelim that are Muktzah. It's going to identify these kelim are Muktzah, everything else not Muktzah, which is going to lead the Gemara into a discussion of the history of Muktzah, of the history of the Isser Muktzah, why Muktzah became Asr in the first place, what were Chazal thinking in Asring Muktzah, and how they lightened the restrictions over time. Hitiru, v'chazru, v'hitiru. Over time, they were matir, more and more elements of the Isser Muktzah. So we're going to pick up at the two dots on the, again, about seven lines from the bottom of the page, on daf Kuf Chav Beis Am Beis. It's probably worth mentioning, since we're learning the sugyas of Muktzah, what the Rambam writes as far as the reason for the Yisurim of Muktzah. The Rambam writes in the 24th Perek of Hilchos Shabbos that the reason that Chazal Asur Muktzah, the Rambam writes, is he suggests three different reasons for why Chazal asered Muktzah. The Rambam writes that reason number one is that just like we know that there is an Isser to be medaber on Shabbos the same way we're medaber on Chol, and hiluchach b'Shabbos lotei ki hiluchach b'Chol, the way we walk on Shabbos should not be the way we walk during the week, the way we talk on Shabbos is not the way we talk during the week, so too, kal v'chomer, he says, shlo yeh tiltul b'Shabbos ki tiltul b'Chol, that which we handle, that which we move on Shabbos, that which we're engaged with on Shabbos should not be those same items that we are engaged with on Chol. And then he says, and another reason that they asked Muktzah, k'shi yivak v'italto kelim shem lachlon iser, efshar shi yisasik b'nat v'yavol de melacha. If you're going to be moving a kli shem lachlon iser, something that's normally used for a melacha, you might come to do that melacha. And then a third reason the Rambam suggests is because miktzas ha'am einam bali umnius ela b'telim kol yemehen. There are some people that never ever work. So a person is going to refrain from melacha on Shabbos. So is that going to be an indication necessarily that he's observing Shabbos? Maybe it just means it's a regular day for him. He doesn't work during the week and he's not working on Shabbos either. So if he's allowed to be holich and medaber and metaltel, kishara yamim nimtza shalosh shavas, and here's the phrase the Rambam coins, shvisa hanikeres. It turns out that yes, he was shavas from melacha, but it's not a shvisa hanikeres. It needs to be a shvisa that's clearly recognizable that it's for the sake of Shabbos that a person is being shoves. That's what the Ramban writes, is the connection between the mitzvah of shmira Shabbos, not doing melacha, and zechiras Shabbos, dafka saying words of kiddush of Shabbos. You are thereby demonstrating that your shvisa mi melacha is a shvisa hanikeres. And that's what Rav Salvechik writes in the Yartzeit Shir. Rav Salvechik said in the Yartzeit Shir that's the connection between the mitzvos d'oraisa of Shabbos and the mitzvos midrabbanan or midivrei Kabbalah of Shabbos, the mitzvos of zachar v'shamar and the mitzvos of kavod va'oneg. Kavod va'oneg color the shvisas haShabbos. They give a little bit of a feeling to not doing malacha on Shabbos because it makes it more clear that you're doing it for the sake of the fact that it's a very special day. It makes it more of a shvisa nikeres. That's how the Rambam explains the reasons for the Isser Muktzah. So let's get into some of these. So sugis now. Says the Mishnah said, not to let them cornice that a person could take a hammer and break nuts, crack nuts with the hammer. So Amar Rav Yehuda cornice shel agozin, lefatzeh bo'os agozin. Aval shel napachin, you could take a cornice shel agozin, meaning something that's meant to crack nuts with. But shel napachin, to take a blacksmith's hammer, lo. That you're not allowed to crack nuts with because that's a kli shel nachtel iser. Kasav dover shel nachtel iser, afil tzorach gufo aser. Apparently, Rav Yehuda holds that if you have a kli shel nachtel iser, even if you're using tzorach gufo, you're using it because for its own sake. Apparently, he holds that's going to be aser, and therefore kolshkein it's aser tzorach makomo to move a blacksmith's hammer when you just need the space that it's occupying. Amar le Rabba, so Rabba says, well, wait a second. Lemeata seifa deketani ve'es harachas v'salmades zase salav lakatan, that we said to take different types of kelim shem lachtel l'iser, of pitchforks and things like that that they would use out in the field to do work to give, but you're using it to serve food to a katan, which is a something that's mutter to do. How are you allowed to do that? Rachas magos mim yachtel l'katan, are these things that are designated to feed a katan with? No, certainly not. They're kli shem lachtel l'iser, and nevertheless, apparently the Mishnah says that you're allowed to be metal to them for a mutter purpose, as long as you're not using it for a malacha, you're using it for a heter purpose. So kli shem lachtel l'iser apparently is mutter l'tzorach gufo. So how can Rav Yehuda say that it's also l'tzorach gufo? Elam Rabba kornish al napachin lefatzeh bo ha'gozin. Rabba says, therefore I disagree, and I say that when the Mishnah says you're allowed to take a hammer and crack nuts with a hammer, it does not just mean a nutcracker. It means a hammer, even a blacksmith's hammer, a kli shem lachtel l'iser, may be used to crack nuts. Why? Kasavar, because Rabba holds, davar shem lachtel l'iser, l'tzorech gufo mutter. That when you have a kli shem lachtel l'iser, you're allowed to be metaltelit l'tzorech gufo. So here you have machlokas Rav Yehuda and Rabba, whether a kli shem lachtel l'iser can at least be used l'tzorech gufo. Rav Yehuda's machmir, and Rabba is mekel. There is a discussion in Poskim. The Mishnah Berurah writes that being metaltel kli shem lachtel l'iser l'tzorech gufo, like a hammer to break nuts, we paskin like Rabba that it is in fact mutter l'tzorach gufo l'tzorach makomo. But says the Mishnah Berurah in Simon Shin Ches if katan yud beis, that's only if you don't have a regular nutcracker. But if you have easy access to a regular nutcracker, then you got to use that. Then you're not allowed to just go and take the kli shem lachtel l'iser. Meaning it's not like heter gomer that you don't even have to think about it. If you have something that's not a kli shem lachtel l'iser, you have to use that first. The Shaar HaTzion quotes that the basis for this is a gemara not in today's daf, but in tomorrow's daf. And the Tosfos Shabbos writes that even if it's possible to use a regular nutcracker, he disagrees. You're allowed to be metaltel a kli shem lachtel l'iser instead. So Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, Nor Chaim Chilakei, Simon Chaf Alf Os Yud Beis, that even based on what the Mishnah Berurah says, that if you have a kli heter, you're not allowed to use a blacksmith's hammer. He says, yeah, but you don't have to go crazy looking for a nutcracker. I mean, you don't have to search, turn your house upside down. I know we have it somewhere, but if you don't find it immediately, so even the Mishnah Berurah would say, as long as you don't find it immediately, you're allowed to resort to the kli shem lachtel l'iser. That's what Moshe writes. And he says, and it's mistaver that if you don't have a kli heter, even though you could borrow it from someone else, you don't have to do that either, says Rav Moshe. You don't have to go borrow it from somebody else if you don't have it readily accessible to you. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah does not say that heter atiltel is when you're not able to get it. He says it's ein lo kli shel heter. He doesn't say ef shelo lahasig kli shel heter. It's you just don't have it. So if you don't have it, then you're allowed to use a kli shel nachtel l'iser. Rav Zalman writes something similar in his Tshuvas and Chelek Beis, Siman Lamedalir Os Lamed, where he explains that which the Mishnah is matir to be metaltel kush v'karkar in order to stick them into foods in order to eat like strawberries or something. So you could take these kli shem lachtel l'iser that have a pointy edge and like use them as a toothpick to eat your strawberries. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, I have another way that you could possibly eat your strawberries without using a kli shem lachtel l'iser. Isser. You have these things, you have hands, right? So why can't you use your hands in order to eat a strawberry? Because you don't like eating strawberries with your hands. You don't like, but you're going to be metatel, klishan lachtel Isser, says Rabbi Zalman. Yeah, you don't have to, if that's the way you're accustomed to eat, you're allowed to use a klishan lachtel Isser, litzarech gufo. So when we are matir klishan lachtel Isser, litzarech gufo, even though the Mishnah Brura pulls back on the heter a little bit and says, if you have a klishan lachtel heter available to you, you have to utilize the klishan lachtel heter. But according to the poskim, right, that's only when it's really readily available to you and you're comfortable using it. But if it's not readily available and comfortable to use, then you could use a klishan lachtel le'isser. So you don't have to think about it too much before you use a klishan lachtel le'isser for letzorech gufo. So now the Gemara challenges Rabbah. Eisvei Abai l'Rabbah Abai challenges Rabbah. We're going to have two challenges. Number one, maducha, which is a large kli that they would use to crush garlic with. So it's a kli shemlach to liser im yesh pashu metaltalosa. So if it has some garlic in it, you're allowed to be metaltalit agav the garlic. Vim lav ain metaltalosa. But if there's no actual garlic in it, you're not allowed to be metaltal in it. And we don't make any distinctions. Sounds like you're not allowed to be metaltal even litzarech gufo. You're not allowed to be metaltal. So how can you, Rabbah, be matir being metaltal kli shemlach to liser litzarech gufo? Amalei, Rabbah will respond, Hamani, Rabbi Nechemiah. That price is following a das yachar of Rabbi Nechemiah. Da Amar ein kli nital ela litzarech tashmisho. That Rabbi Nechemiah holds you're only allowed to use a kli, you're only allowed to move a kli when you're using it for its primary usage and not for any other usage. Rabbi Nechemiah says this even by a kli shemlach l'heter. Even if it's made a fork and a knife, Rabbi Nechemiah would say this. That you're only allowed to use it when it's for its primary usage. And therefore the price says, the madu you're not allowed to be metaltal the maducha for a tashmish of heter because it's not the tashmish amiyuchado. It's not what the maducha is meant for. The maducha is meant for crushing garlic. But we don't pass like Rav Nechemiah. We pass like the chachamim that allow being metaltal kli even when it's not the primary tashmish of that kli. And therefore, you can't ask me any kashas from a brisa that follows the das yachid. So Abai says, okay, so I'll ask you from somewhere else. Eisvei, there's a Mishnah in Maseches Beitza where Beishamai Omrim ain notlan esaeli lekatziv alav basar ubeisilul matirin. That Beishamai says you're not allowed to take the pestle in order to chop meat on it, and beisilul is matir because it's for tzorach simchus yantiv. And the Brisa over there says v'shavin shemkitziv alav basar sha'asel letaltalo. That everyone agrees, both Beishamai and Beisilul agree that if you already hammered the meat on it, then you don't. And you don't have a tzorach yantiv for it anymore, then it's also to be metaltal, because Beis Hillel only was matir for the sake of simchas yantiv. But what do you see from there? That it's a kli shemlach l'isser, you're not allowed to be metaltal, apparently, even l'tzorach gufo. That once it's no longer a need for simchas yantiv, so then you're not allowed to be metaltal, such a kli, even when it's l'tzorach gufo. So Savar l'shanuyele, Rabbah thought to answer to Abaye, that even that price that Aser is the kli shemlach l'isser, l'tzorach gufo, is krabi nechemia. That price is also going like Rabbi Nechemiah. But given the Shamala Hadam Rav Chinna Bar Shlamiya Mishmei the Rav, that Hakol Modem Masiki Zayari and Mazari, to given the Kapan Alayu Miyachidu Makom, Haninami Miyachiduhu Miyachidu Makom. But then he came up with a better answer. Once he heard that even the Chacham that disagree with Rabbi Nechemiah would agree that if it comes to certain types of Kalim, two Deus and Rashi, what types of Kalim we're talking about over here, whether it's dyer's Kalim or weaver's Kalim, bottom line is, these are Kalim Shamlachtam Le'isser, but they're beyond Kalim Shamlachtam Le'isser. It's Kapid Alayu. These are things that an Uman would be Makbid not to use for anything else. And he used Miyachidu Makom. He would Dafka only leave them in their place. He puts them away very carefully. He doesn't leave them hanging around the house. Meaning, this is what we call Muktzamach Maschesrum Kis. You would never use these types of things, these types of Kalim, for anything other than what they're intended to be used for, because you don't want to ruin them. So that would be such a category of muktzah, you're not even allowed to be metaltel l'tzorach gufo l'tzorach mukomo. It's beyond kli shemlach l'isser. It's a higher level of muktzah than kli shemlach l'isser. This is muktzah machmas chesron kis. So it's called muktzah machmas chesron kis because a person doesn't want the item to get ruined by using it for something else. Now the Beis Meir writes that such a muktzah is only muktzah machmas chesron kis. Is the Gemara is very precise in its language. It says that kivut miyachlu makom, since you always put it away in a specific spot, that it has a place where it belongs. And Beis Meir writes, that is a defining feature of Muktzah Machmas Chesron Kis. It has has to have a place where it belongs, and you would never put it anywhere but that place that it belongs. The Mishnah Berurah over in Siman Shin Yud in the Shaar HaTzion says that from the Achronim doesn't sound that way. It doesn't sound that Yichud Makom is a defining feature of Muksa Machanas Ches from Kis, and Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, Nor HaChaim Chedekei, Siman Chav Beis, Osi Yud Beis, that it's really just a Siman Bialma, meaning the real definition of Muksa Machanas Ches from Kis is something that you're makpid about, something that you're very careful about. So the Gemara gives an indication. How do I know if a person is careful? So one indicator is he miyachidu makom? But that's not a definition. That's a simen, not a siba. Now, muksa machmas chesron kis certainly applies to a klisha mlach talisser. Like we said, it's a klisha mlach talisser plus. Not only is it a klisha mlach talisser, but you're also makbid about it, not to use it for anything else, because of its value. There is a discussion in Achronim, what if it's a klisha mlach talaheter, but it's muksa machmas chesron kis? Meaning its primary usage is not for a malacha on Shabbos, but you also wouldn't use it for anything other than its primary usage. Does something become muksa machmas chesron kis if it doesn't have that initial stage of being a kli shemalach to the iser? So in Tosefos Shabbos he writes, muksa machmas chesron kis only applies to a kli shemalach to the iser, because you can't use it for its primary usage, since that's an iser, and you wouldn't use it for any other usage. But if you have a kli shemalach to the heter, even if it's very, very expensive, it's not going to be considered muksa, because you could use it for its primary usage. So by definition, muksa means something that you put out of mind, that you're not interested in using, that you would never think about using. But, and Tilal David points out, even a klisha mlach talaheter that you wouldn't use, meaning let's say you have a klisha mlach talaheter, but you wouldn't even use it, you just don't use that item, that can become muksa machmas chesron kis. Say you have a very valuable goblet or something, a very valuable kos that's an antique piece or something. You don't bring it to the table, because any kos you've ever brought to the table somehow got knocked over and there's a dent in it or something like that. So you wouldn't bring this to the table, you would never actually use it to drink from. But it's a klisha mlach talaheter, it's meant to. So says the Tilal David, that would become muksa machmas chesron kis. That's what the poskim discuss when it comes to merchandise. If a person, let's say, runs a store out of their basement or something, or they run a store out of their house, so they don't use the items that are in the store because that's meant to be sold, and they don't want to break any of the items or use any. They're not selling used items in their store, so they would never use it. Maybe that has the status of muksa machmas chesron kis, and then you would not be allowed to be metaltal it, Litzarech, even Litzarech Gufo, or Litzarech Makomo. That's what Rabbi Kivega writes in his Chiddush Manshas over here, that even a klisha mlach talaheter can become muksa machmas chesron kis if you're makbid for whatever reason not to use it. And this would be an example. The poskim give the example of a wall clock. You know, you don't use it. It's a klisha mlach talaheter, but you would never take it off the wall to do anything with it, or a painting on the wall. That might be muksa machmas chesron kis, that you're not allowed to. That's why poskim say if a painting is not straight, since it's not something that you would normally move, you're not allowed. That maybe one should not straighten out the painting. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter. Itmar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan Korno Shel Zahavim Shaninu, that we were talking about a goldsmith's hammer. Rabbi Shem bar Abba Amar Korno Shel Besamim Shaninu, we're talking about a hammer that's used for spices. That even though the owner of such a hammer would normally not use it for other malachos, in order that it should remain clean, and it shouldn't, because if you can use it for besamim and for spices that you want to use, you don't want any impurities to get into that spice, to those spices. So according to both of them, you're allowed to use certainly a korna shel nafachim, because no one is makbid at all about a korna shel nafachim. But the question is it even a korna shel besamim that we allow you to crack a nut with, or only a korna shel zahavim and shel nafachim? So mandi amr de besamim kol shkein de zahavim. If you say that even a cornish shel besamim, which normally you'd be makbid about, you're still allowed to use to crack a nut, so then for sure you're allowed to use a goldsmith's hammer to crack a nut. But mind the amr shel zahavim, the one that says no, a goldsmith's hammer can be used, he dafka chose a goldsmith's hammer because you're not as makbid about it. Aval de besamim, kapad alayu. But if you're someone who deals with besamim, then you would be makbid not to use it for other things, and maybe that in fact would be a violation of muktza. So then the Mishnah went on to say, ves hakush ves hakarkar, that you could use a kush and a karkar, different weaving instruments that have a pointy edge to it. So Tan Rabbanan, If let's say you have an unripened fig that you wanted it to ripen more quickly, so you covered it, you wrapped it in straw in order to it's like the equivalent of like putting in the brown paper bag or something to ripen quickly. So you wrap it in straw. V'charara shetmana begachalim, or you have a baked cake that you put it in that you wrap in gachalim, that you wrap in coals. The common theme between them is that both straw and coals are muktza, right? So you're not allowed to be metal to them. So imagula mitzasa, if some of the item that you have wrapped is exposed, it's not entirely wrapped, mutal taltala, then you could take it because it's not even tiltul minatzad, because you don't have to touch the teven, you don't have to touch the gechalim, just take the exposed part and lift it out. You want to take the charara, so pick up the part of the charara that's exposed and lift it up. But vimlav, but if you're not able to move it without first moving aside the muktza, then also the taltala. Rabbi Lozer ben Tadoy Yomer, tochvin bakush o bakarkar vein menuaros me'alehem. That what you could do is you could take a sharp implement, like a kush or a karkar, which is a weaver's tool, stick it in through the straw into the te'ena that you want to get, and then pick it up, pick the te'ena out, and the straw will fall to the side on its own, or the coals will fall to the side on their own, because the tiltul minatzad apparently is mutter. That's considered a tiltul minatzad, that you're not directly moving it, you're moving the item that's hidden in them, and that therefore is going to automatically move the tevin or the gechalim. So Amar Rav Nachman halacha k'Rav Elazar ben Tadai, that we paskin in that machlokas like Rav Elazar ben Tadai. The Meimer the Sefer Rav Nachman tiltul minatzad lo shmei tiltul. Wait, do you mean to tell me that Rav Nachman holds tiltul minatzad is mutter? It's not called tiltul muktza when you're a metaltul minatzad. I Amar Rav Nachman I pugla mi lemala lemata shari mi mata lemala aser. Rav Nachman told us that if you have a radish that is detached from the ground, but you put it back into the karka in order to keep it safe, in order to keep it in a climate-controlled environment or something, and some of it is exposed, is sticking out above the level of the karka. So if it's milamayla lamata, it's mutter. What does that mean? That the radish is put in the ground in a way that the upper part, which is wider, is higher up, and the bottom part, which is narrower, is deeper into the ground. So when you pull it out of the ground, it's not going to move any of the surrounding dirt. So that's mutter. That you're allowed to do. But if you have it in the other side, if you have it in the other way, where the wider part is deeper in the ground and the narrower part is closer up, so then when you pull it, you're going to be moving around all the dirt. So that's usser. Aye, but it's tiltul minatzad. Why is it going to be aser? So don't you see that Rav Nachman holds that tiltul minatzad is in fact aser? Says Mar Hadre Rav Nachman Mehi. Enochinami, Rav Nachman changed his mind from that psak about the radish, and really he allows picking that radish up out of the ground, even if it's going to involve tiltul minatzad, even if it's going to involve moving some of the dirt that surrounds the radish, and that's like the sheet of Rav Elazar ben Tadai. So when we say we paskin that Rav Nachman paskins like Rav Elazar ben Tadai, that's his final word on the matter. This discussion about the radish is an earlier discussion. Okay, we have a stira in Rav Nachman, and we know he must have changed his mind from one thing or the other. How do we know he changed his mind from this and not the other, though? How do I know that he didn't change his mind from saying that the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Tadai, and maybe he maintained his shita about the radish? So two possible approaches. Tosos writes over here in Dibra Maskel Hadar that it's more mistaver that he changed his mind from asering the radish and not the opposite, because the Gemara is going to say that later on, Daf Kuf Mem Aleph, that we're going to have a Mishnah that's against Rav Nachman who asers the tznon. So it's more mistaver that because of that kasha from the Mishnah, he was chozerbo, right? Meaning, there's compelling evidence that the psak about the radish was incorrect. So if we're going to say he changed his mind about something, so it's most mistaver that he would change his mind about that which we have a beferish raya against. He probably was compelled by that raya. The Ritva just points out that in the entire Masechta, the Gemara always assumes bipshitos that tiltul minatzad is mutter. Meaning, whenever we talk about muktza throughout the Masechta, we always work with the assumption that tiltul minatzad is mutter. So if we're always going to be working with that assumption, it's most mistaver that Rav Nachman conformed ultimately to that shita as well. Okay, machat shel yad litol, but we said you're allowed to take a needle to remove a splinter. So shaluch le Rav Abrei de Rabbi le Rav Yosef yilam denu Rabbeinu machat shenitol charora o uktzamahu. What if the needle has the sharp edge has been removed, or the the hole at the other end of the sewing needle has been removed, are you allowed to be metaltal on Shabbos? Would you still say that it's a real kli, and as a kli, you're allowed to be metaltal l'tzorach gufo, like to take out a splinter? Or do you say, no, now it's not even a kli anymore. It's not a usable, it's not a functional kli, and therefore it's absolutely muktzah. Some lay, Sir Yosef Tanisua, we have a Mishnah, machat shal yad litol ba'as ha-kotz, v'chima ichpot le-kotz, bein nekuva le-bein she'ena nekuva. As far as removing a splinter, does it matter if there's a hole at the other end, if there's an opening at the other end of the needle where you could thread the needle? The splinter doesn't matter. The splinter doesn't, you don't need to put thread in it. You're not making stitches. You're just taking out the, so it must be that it's mutter l'taltel even when it doesn't have the end with the hole in it. So Rava Bereda Rabbi asks Rav Yosef Weiter, but it says in the Mishnah Maseches Kelim, machat shenitel chararo uktza tahora, it loses its status of a kli. So if it loses its status of a kli as far as tumah and tahara is concerned, doesn't that mean it loses its status of a kli as far as muktzah is concerned and it should be muktzah? So Amalei, Rav answers back, tumah, Shabbos karamis. What does hilchos tumah have to do with Shabbos? Tumah kli maisa bi'inan. In order for something to be a kli with regard to hilchos tumah, you need it that it should be a kli maisa, meaning that its original intended usage is still in place, is still intact. But if it broke to the point where its original intended usage is no longer viable for its original intended usage, so now it's not a kli as far as tumah is concerned. But in Shabbos, as far as Shabbos is concerned, midi dechazi binan, it just needs to be useful. I don't care if it's useful for what it was originally intended for, it just needs to be useful for something. Vahanami, so this needle, that it's nital chora ochuda, that one edge or the other edge of the needle is somehow ruined, chazi l'mishkla bakot, as long as it's still usable to remove a splinter, so it's a kli as far as Shabbos is concerned. So Rava disagrees. I'm a Rava. Man de kamosif, shapir kamosif. Kasha is better than the Teretz, he says. The definition of kli with regard to Shabbos and with regard to Hilchos Muktzah is going to be exactly the same definition as kli with regard to Tumah and Tahara. So Meisvei, so the Gemara asks on Rava, really? Tumah and Tahara always conforms the dinim of Tumah and Tahara, and what's considered a kli is always going to conform to the dinim of Tumah and Tahara, to the dinim of what's considered a kli with regard to Muktzah. The two are going to be aligned with each other always. So Meisvei, I'll ask you from a Braisa. Machat bein nekuva bein shein nekuva mutter l'taltel b'Shabbos v'lo amru nekuva elin yitumah b'lvad. The Braisa couldn't be more explicit. It draws a contrast between the dinim of Shabbos and the dinim of Tumah and Tahara. The Braisa says that an eina nekuva, apparently that means a machat, that the hole has broken off of it. Legabe tumah is no longer a kli, and legabe Shabbos is not muktzah. It is considered to be a kli. So it says, no, tirgam abaya liba de Rava. Abaya says, I can't let this fly. Even though I'm the bar plukta of Rava, I can't let that be a kasha on Rava. I have to be honest over here. That is not a kasha on Rava. We can answer that easily. Why? Begul meyaskinan. Over there, it's not talking about, it's when it talks about a needle that's ena nekuva, it's not talking about a needle where one end broke off, where the hole broke off of the needle. No. It's talking about a needle that is not yet completed. The original production of the needle is not yet finished. The original making of the needle is not yet finished. That's what we're talking about. It's still a golem. So that's why you didn't make the nekev. But if it's if it were nekuva and it had a gemar malacha, and it's not nekuva, it did not yet have a gemar malacha. That's why the Braisa distinguishes between tumah and Shabbos. As far as tumah is concerned, it's not considered a kli because you need a kli meisa. That means that you've completed making the kli. But as far as tiltul Shabbos, even a machat she'enu nekuva is mutter betiltul, because it's complete as far as Shabbos is concerned. Zimnin demim lechlayu mashvi luhumana. Why? Because sometimes a person might change his mind and say, you know what? I'm never going to make the other end of the kli. I'm never going to put a hole in the other end, and I'll just use it to remove splinters. You know, I'll use it right now. I'm not going to wait. And I'm not loved afkal, I'll never. But I'm not going to wait to finish the kli. I'll use it right now to remove splinters with it. And that's enough for Hilchos Shabbos for it to be considered a kli. But if it were a broken kli, if the other end was broken off, avalhecha, denital charara uktza, but if one end of the needle was broken, then adam zarkal ben grutaos, then you would never think to use it for anything else. You would just throw it away with whatever scrap metal you have. You throw it away with all that scrap metal. The miuchas Ran, he says, well, why might you say once one end breaks off that you might decide to use it for netilas coats? So he said, no, a person would only do that. It would only keep a machat around if it has some other potential use. You don't keep things around for splinter removal. The items that have other use, you might use for splinter removal. So if you have something, some way to in the future to make it into a kli, yes, I'll keep it around to use for splinter removal as well, or I'll use it right now to remove a splinter. But if it's something that's broken for any other usage, you would never keep it around. You would just throw it in the garbage heap. Okay, now a new sukkah. Asuva yunuka, to straighten the limbs of a baby. So Rav Nachman Asar, Rav Shesha Shari, Machlokas Aposkim, are you allowed to straighten the limbs of a baby? This idea of being misakin the guf, that's a discussion that our Gemara is talking about, to be misakin the guf, to be misakin the human body. Is that a problem of doma kemisakin, that it's like a makabe patish, so that any tikkun is going to be asr, whether you're misakin a kli or whether you're misakin adam? That's the shita of Rav Nachman that asrs. It's a violation of makabe patish. And Cheschinuch writes in the Mosach HaShabbos in makabe patish Os Beis that this is a form of makabe patish. It's a discussion the poskim have, like, is a bite plate a violation of this? If you hold that it's going to be asr to straighten the limbs of a baby, which hold the same thing, to straighten one's teeth. There's a tshuva from Vayan David, Rav David Weiss, the Satmar Dayan in Antwerp, has a beautiful set of tshuvas where he discusses using a bite plate. He's matir in the end. So I'm Rav Nachman, mana minila. Where do I learn this din that it's asr to be masaking a human body? Titnan, because the Mishnah is going to say later on, ein osin apak tavizin b'Shabbos, that a person is not supposed to drink something that will make him vomit on Shabbos, that they would dafka do it, not for refuah purposes, they would dafka do it so that they could eat and drink more. They want to taste all the tanugim of Shabbos, they want to taste all the foods of Shabbos. Problem is, your stomach is of a limited size. So once you fill up, it's going to be very difficult to eat more Shabbos food. So they used to drink something that would make them vomit, so that then they could eat more. So you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Why? Because apparently that's a tikkun aguf. So the same is true when it comes to being mesadeh de evarim of a tinok. Tosas raises the question, you know, that very same Mishnah that talks about not making apak tavizin, you know, that it first of all, it doesn't seem to align very well with aligning the limbs of a baby. They don't seem at all the same. It's not at all the same kind of tikkun. And furthermore, it goes on to say that ein ma'atzvin hatinok, in that very same Mishnah, that's a lot closer. It's talking about a tinok. So Rabbi Natam says, yeah, the raya is from ein ma'atzvin hatinok. When it says ein osin apak tavizin, we're saying, you know, the Mishnah that starts with ein osin apak tavizin, but the real raya is from the later part of the Mishnah that talks about actually doing something for a tinok, that actually talks about helping out a baby. So anyway, the Gemara says Rav Sheshes would respond about the apak tavizin, that over there, by drinking the thing that's going to cause you to vomit, it's not the derech for a person to do that, and therefore it's considered to be a tikkun aguf, and that's going to be usher. But if you're straightening the limbs of the body, it's just a normal thing you do when a baby is born, and that's just like that's like a basic human need. It's like giving the baby to eat or to drink. That's not considered a tikkun aguf. It's just a normal way of behaving on day in, day out basis. Amar Rav Sheshes Minami. Rav Sheshes says, where do I get my shita that I say that it's mutter to arrange the limbs of the baby? Detran, because the Mishnah is going to say later on Kufchav Beis on Beis Machat Shel Yad Litol Bas Hakotz, or said previously rather in Kufchav, we just learned the Mishnah before that a Machat Shel Yad you're allowed to use to take a splinter out. So you see that you're allowed to take a splinter out on Shabbos. Apparently that's a tikkun aguf. So you're allowed to do a tikkun aguf on Shabbos. Removing a splinter is a tikkun aguf. Rav Nachman, how would Rav Nachman respond to that? Hasam pakid, hacha lo pakid. No, by the splinter is not attached to the body. It's placed in the body. It's an object that's right now located, a foreign object that's right now located in the body. Straightening the limbs of the body is within the body itself, that the body itself needs some fixing, and you're therefore moving around the body. punish al zeisim. New Mishnah. If you have the cane that they would use to soften olives, im yesh kesher b'rosho, if there is a like handle at the end at one end of it, so then mekabel tumah. Then it's considered to be mekabel tumah because it's a kli since it's wider and thicker at one end. V'im lav ein mekabel tumah, but otherwise it's not mekabel tumah. So that's as far as Siman Torah is concerned. Bein kach u'bein kach nitl b'shabbos. But either way, it's going to be mutter to be metaltal on Shabbos because it's meant for it's meant for moving olives around, so therefore it has a shame kli, and it's not considered an item that's muksa. So frankly, more, wait a second, am I? Why when there's a handle at one end, why when it's thicker at one end, is it all of a sudden mekabel tumah? There's no base kibble. Pshute kliyetsu, it's just pshute kliyetsu. Where's the base kibble? Pshute kliyetsu and mekabel tumah. The rule is pshute kliyetsu are not mekabel tumah. So the Gemara says, my timer, dumya desak be'inan. Normally you need something that's dumya desak, that's like a bag that has a base kibble in order to be mekabel tumah. And so Gemara tana b'shmeid Rabbi Nechemya, b'shor shemahapich b'zeisim hov chavro bo. Sometimes you use the thick end as a base kibble. Meaning when you mahapich b'zeisim, you might flip it over to see if some of the olive, some of the juices from the olive, some of the oil is already oozing out and is caught in that handle. So since the handle catches some of the stuff and you can use it to look at what the handle has caught, that's like it has a base kibble. But as far as Shabbos is concerned, whether it has a kesher barosha or not, it's a kli tashmish, and as long as it's a kli tashmish, you're allowed to be metaltal on Shabbos because it's a real kli. New Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Yomar Kol Kelim Nitolim Chutz Min HaMasra Gadol V'Yasit Shal Machrisha. You're allowed to be metaltal all kelim. There are only two exceptions: a very large saw that they would use to cut beams, and the peg of a plow, which is also a very large kli. Because those kelim, a person is very makbid not to use them for anything else. He doesn't want any pegam in those kelim, and these miyachin makum for those kelim, meaning those are the epitome of muktzah machmas cheson kis. But anything else is mutter to be metaltel. It's just the ultimate muktzah machmas cheson kis that you're not allowed to be metaltel. So Rav Nachman, hay uchla dekartzri, a copper kli that launderers use, kiyasit shal macharisha, that also is muktzah machmas cheson kis, kiyasit shal macharisha damya. It's also has to be metaltel because it's like muktzah machmas cheson kis. Amar Abaye, charba du ushkafi, the knife that's used by a shoemaker, the sakina de ishkavta, or the knife that's used by the butcher, the chatzina de nagri, or the saw of a carpenter, kiyasi shal machrisha dami, is also asur b'metaltel, because people are very makbid about the kelim that they use for their professions. Now we go through the history of muktzah. Initially, when they asur muktzah, they asur everything, except there were only three kelim that you were allowed to move on Shabbos. A muktzah shal devela, that which was used to cut dry figs, vizua melistron shel kadeira, that which was used to skim off the zuama from a cooked item, that which gets stuck to the walls of the pot when you're cooking some of the impurities, so you could scrape that off, v'sakin katana shel gabe shulchan, or a small knife, a butter knife or something like that. Those were the only three things that they were matir. But then hitiru v'chazru v'hitiru, as the generations went on, they were matir more, then they were matir more, v'chazr v'tir, then they were matir even more, ad sharmu, until we finally landed at a place that kol ha-kelim nitalim b'shabbos, chutz min masar ha-gadol v'yasa shal machrisha, that it became mutter to be metaltal all kelim except for the two that the Mishnah identified. So what was the, how did this work out? Mai hitiru, v'chazr v'tir, v'chazr v'tir, what were the different stages of hetir? So we're going to have two different shitas, Abaye and Rava. So Amar Abaye, hitiru davar shamlach tal hetir. First they had to be matir kli shamlach tal hetir, meaning even that was also originally, you weren't allowed to be metaltal a fork. So they said, no, klishem lachtel heter, you're allowed to be metaltal, but tzorach gufo, at least when you need it, at least to use the fork to eat with. Then they said, you're even allowed to move the fork out of the way if it's in the way and you want to use the table that it's sitting on. And then they were matir klishem lachtel iser, but only when you want to use it, the hammer to crack the nut, but not tzorach mekomo, not if the hammer's on your dining room table.
Yechol, va'adayin biyado achas in v'shtei yad vlo. And even then, it's only if you can move it with one hand, but not to move it, not if it's a large item that needs to be used with two hands. Acha amru kol hakelim nitol b'shabbos afil b'shtei yadayim. Until they got to the point where they said all of these kelim it could be mitalt on Shabbos even b'shtei yadayim, except for the mesra gadol and the yasid shel machrisha that you're not allowed to move l'tzorach kufa l'tzorach makomo. Amru le'rava michti hitiru katani mali l'tzorach kufa mali l'tzorach makomo. When it says hitiru, why would we distinguish and say, oh, they were matir l'tzorach kufa, but not l'tzorach makomo? What difference does it make? Once they're being matir to be metaltalit, wouldn't you imagine that they'd be matir both l'tzorach kufa and l'tzorach makomo? Ella amaravas rava says malach kli davish malach talahetir ben l'tzorach kufa ben l'tzorach makomo. Hitiru davish malach talahetir ben l'tzorach kufa ben l'tzorach makomo. Initially, they were matir kli shem malach talahetir both l'tzorach kufa and l'tzorach makomo. Chazur v'hitiru meicham l'tzel. Then they were matir even just to protect it, to move it out of the sun. V'chazur v'hitiru davish malach talahetir l'tzorach kufa u l'tzorach makomo in, but meicham l'tzel lo, just not to move it to protect it. V'adayin badam echad in b'shnei adam lo, but still not by, to be moved by two people. Ad charmu kol kelim tal b'shabbos afil b'shnei adam. Till they got to the point where they said even two people can move it. Say Abaye challenges Maducha im yesh bashum metaltanosa v'im lav ein metaltanosa. That the brisa says that a Maducha, if it doesn't have any shum in it, you're not allowed to be metaltalit. So you see that the brisa asks the tilt of a klisha malach to the iser. So according to me, it works out very well because it's talking about l'tzarach makomo. But what about you, Rava? Hachmeiskin mecham l'tzel. That's not a problem. It's talking about mecham l'tzel. That's why it's aser. Eisvei. So he asks Vaiter Rava. V'shavin shem kitzav lav basar shasal l'taltalo. If on Yantif you already used the thing that you chop meat on, it's also to be metaltal because there's no longer a need for Simchas Yantif. So you see, klisha malach to the iser, you're not allowed to be metaltal even l'tzorach makomo. So he says, nah, hachanami mecham l'tzel. That's also mecham l'tzel. Okay, but Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue a little bit with the history of the Isra Mukta and the days of Nechemya ben Chakalia when they originally instituted the Isra Mukta. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you very much.